Finding the right data matters. As a marketing services company, your clients will struggle to reach their ideal customers without fresh, accurate data. Learn how you can integrate entire email databases into your product offering at everymarketmedia.com.
You're listening to The Corporate Data Show, a podcast dedicated to helping marketing services companies leverage data for their clients. Whether you're looking for techniques and strategies or tools and resources, you've come to the right place. Let's get into the show.
Welcome back to The Corporate Data Show. This week we're with Fran Green, President of Smart Data Solutions, a division of ALC. How are you doing today, Fran?
I'm terrific, Rick. Thanks. Great to be here on the show.
Great to have you. Thanks so much for being our first female guest. We've so badly needed to diversify the ranks. There's so many awesome professionals, and we really need to get a nice snapshot of the group at large. So thank you for piping up and pointing it out. We weren't even paying attention. But now we're going to have a couple of very interesting folks on the show. Anyways, we were talking during the sound check, Fran, about kind of tangentially the Remarketable product, which we won't get into too much because we don't want to plug particular things, but customers out there, our end user customers are monetizing data more and more in two ways, either folks visiting their websites and trying to pick up that traffic and sell to those folks that have been on our website. And that's the, you know, the primary channel folks make money. But then of course also large organizations throwing off data from their website can also sell that data into the third party marketplace. So we kind of got in this tangent, for the listeners out there to tie this back together. Fran and I got on this tangent about talking about obvious and then less obvious ways to monetize your data. And then of course the less data you have, the more it's got to be frictionless to derive incremental revenue from it. And Remarketable kind of has some good, what's the word we want? A full throughput, a full stack, a full frictionless way that got us talking about how people are just missing out on tons of data. So, Fran, let's start with the obvious one. What's the most obvious way when you are talking to folks about data leaks in their business? What's the first one they should look at?
Well, first, I just want to acknowledge that I am the first woman on the show, and I'm glad I'm not the last. But, you know, I think more and more we see the idea of data monetization being talked about. It's a core competency of ALC for the last 38 years, but now it's really in the vernacular of every marketing organization, both large and small, because data is sort of the fulcrum or the fuel that's driving all marketing now. It's not so much the product. It used to be, you know, if I built a better product, the world will beat a path to my door. Now it's about creating that one-to-one relationship with customers and prospects, and that comes from data, and sort of the world has come around to that way of thinking, which of course those of us in the data business have always known that.
Yep.
And so I think the, sort of the next logical sort of evolution of that is that organizations realize how much value data has to their own marketing efforts, and therefore data is going to have that same value to every other marketing organization. So it creates sort of an inward look at what do I have access to in terms of data within my organization, and what am I doing with it to monetize it for my own efforts and to monetize it by distributing it in, as you said, a frictionless way to third parties. And I want to just explain that word frictionless, because it may conjure up a lot of different things to different people, but when I say frictionless, what I mean is certainly it's everything is privacy compliant and within, you know, legal use cases. But it also means that it doesn't interfere with or cannibalize any mm-hmm. of the efforts that you currently have underway.
Or
so that's what I mean
brain.
When I say a frictionless, or take such, you know, a ridiculous amount of money or resources that it just, you'll never get the ROI on it.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, that's what I mean when I say frictionless. And that's sort of what we've been saying. That's, you know, that's sort of the holy grail. If we can come up with frictionless programs to help organizations monetize their data. So I would venture, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but it's been my experience that most organizations don't even have a complete view of all of the data that they have access to.
Yeah, totally.
They're siloed. They have digital data. They have offline data. They have retail data, transactional data. They don't even know everything that they have. And typically it's not assembled in one nice, you know, warehouse or receptacle where it's easily accessible. But that said, you know, you can say, well, okay, we can't do anything till we have that. But that's not the case. there's still a lot that people can do. And you just, so that was a long route to get to your question, which was what's one of the most sort of low-hanging fruit,
right, the biggest
in terms
pile
of data monetization. I would say one of the things we think right now, although there are many ways to answer that, is the monetization of anonymous website traffic. So we know that 99%, everybody knows, over 90% of visitors to a website do not transact.
Mm-hmm.
They may stay a long time on they may visit a lot of pages, they may even put something in a shopping cart, but then they abandon. You know, right now, what marketers can do is digitally retarget those anonymous website visitors.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that digital display retargeting has a very, very, very low response and conversion rate. So
mm-hmm.
while it's a great medium, it's not enough.
Yeah, it's cheap and it's got a lot of scale.
It's got a lot of scale.
And even a small website can use it, at least because
Absolutely.
Every single visitor comes in can be tagged with a cookie. But that doesn't mean that you can do other omni-channel things, which is kind of where you're about to make the connection to first party to third party, in case anybody else doesn't see where she's going with this. Just saying.
Yes. Where I'm going with this is that if those anonymous website visitors could then be associated with PII in a privacy-compliant way, which they can, then they can be messaged via direct mail and or email, which are far, far, far more effective media channels than digital display.
And B2B applications, even by phone. For the right sales product. Anyways, you said, I think some of the material I've seen says high-value product, B2B software is probably, at least of course, that's my lens, right? But B2B software are definitely prime candidates to be paying huge money to find out who the anonymous people are on their website. Of course, there are consumer products that you probably deal with more than we do that are also, you know, similar, selling houses and, well, Wealth Window, right? I mean, Wealth Windows, those people, they have the high value sales.
Yeah, but I to your point, even, I mean, we're doing a lot, we have a lot of clients in the B2B space who are leveraging this technology and this program because they do have high-value products. And
mm-hmm.
so the cost of the ROI, even using direct mail or telemarketing or email, and we are advocating an integrated approach using multimedia,
mm-hmm.
Including digital, is proving to have a tremendous return because these are people who visit your website and raise their hand. They demonstrated interest. It's the best prospect universe you can find.
Mm-hmm.
But until recently, there was no way to address them other than with digital. So, you know, we think that's sort of not the next frontier, the now frontier.
Yeah, we agree. We see, and of course, it depends on the group how this, you know, the technicality of resolving these anonymous folks goes. But, you know, as we're leaning out of first party and starting to talk about third party a little more, there's really two kinds of third party. There's one which I kind of led the show with saying, well, monetizing your data by either reselling it or activating it in other ways that get you paid by being part of a partner network or something. But secondarily, using third party data to do more with your first party data. And I mean by that, like when you're talking B2B, for example, if you're a software or service company, you're usually hunting enterprise. And those IP addresses for enterprise that are built in most of the existing sort of anonymous website traffic identifiers out there are using ANS and DNS records to look at on-site physical equipment that belongs to IBM and assign it an IP address. And so when traffic comes out of it, you can say, oh, that belongs to IBM. That doesn't work as well as you go down giant companies into even like large medium-sized companies because they don't own server farms. So they don't produce web traffic. But one thing that I know with working with you is that we've got other ways of adding on other sources of IP address like registration data and other things that sort of crack that nutshell. So anyways, if anyone on the show is listening and cares about the technicality of this, there's a big challenge out there for anyone that's trying to do what Fran's doing, which is who is this anonymous person on my site? And the solution to that for a consumer is different than for a business because, you know, business surfing the web from their computer that's not on corporate equipment, for all intents and purposes, looks like a consumer. So how you're resolving this anonymous traffic, the tech is pretty great. Can you speak to anything you've got in your engine that you feel like gives you, without revealing IP or whatever, obviously, but you got anything in your engine that you feel like gives you a better mousetrap than the next person on resolving an IP?
Well, I think the I'm not a tech person.
Sure, sure,
so
sure. Of course not.
I can't speak to that. But I think that one of the secret weapons we have that distinguishes what we're doing against other companies who are doing something that sounds like it's similar is the data that we're using. And we are bringing in a tremendous storehouse of data from various sources that allow us to create, to resolve that and to truly identify whether it's a business or a consumer, and then information about that business or that consumer or that individual. So it's really the value and the strength of the various third-party data sources that we're bringing in to inform that first-party data that is allowing us to be very accurate in who we're targeting and allow the marketer to be very specific in the kind of messaging.
You said it way more succinctly than I did and said the exact same thing. That's really what it is. It's activating the third-party data to remove limitations, I guess, in a less obvious way. The reason I say that
And to qualify.
Absolutely to qualify. Absolutely. It's the best sort of set of prospects that you have. And, you know, again, I talked about this. This is a few podcasts back with Chris Golak at DemandBase, who I think they specialize in resolving this a little bit for B2B. It's just essential, again, in that particular thing, a B2B website that comes in, the likelihood of resolving a visitor is like 10% or something, you know? And so any tricks that you've got in your various bag, which for most folks including third-party data in their sets that help them resolve traffic at large from other than a single third-party data resource, you're going to need more than that to have any actual resolution, I guess, is my point. And you said all that in one or two sentences, so you're definitely...
I want to move into sort of the next phase here, which is that, so the data that's being thrown off from digital efforts, primarily website, you know, I think one, you asked what's the lowest hanging fruit, I think targeting those anonymous website visitors with media other than just digital is, you know, proving to be a big win. But the other thing is, what else can you do with that data? So envision, you know, the creation of, say, a data store where all of that information that's being harvested from the website visitors' online behavior coupled with PII and third-party data that further informs and provides insights into who they are. And you've got an amazing audience that's available for targeting for both the first-party marketer whose data it is, but for third parties also. And so this integration of online behavioral data, first-party data, and third-party attributes, I think, is also sort of the holy grail. That's where you're really going to build high, high, high-performing audiences at scale with accuracy. And, you know, that's sort of the triumvirate that we're all looking for.
So in 2017, listeners, it's time to create a strategy that maximizes revenue from all of your data in forms of first party, third party, and using third party to make your first party better. This has been Rick Holmes, Corporate Data Show, Fran Green, President, Smart Data Solutions, ALC. Fran, thanks for lending us some of your time. If anybody wants to get in touch after the show, how would they do that?
Well, it's been a great pleasure, Rick, and I appreciate you including me. Best way, I guess, is via either email, fran.green@alc.com, or there's links from our website, alc.com, and also a full description of some of the things we've talked about.
Awesome. Well, everybody, thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Corporate Data Show. We'll be back next week. Pretty soon, I'm going to start to get my schedule for the show in enough order that I'll know who I'm having on next week. But for sure, I'm having somebody on next week. It might be somebody from Accudata. I'm not totally positive, but we'll find out. Till next week, everybody, thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the Corporate Data Show. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.